same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray right now, God, that you would just touch this service. I pray, God, that you would open every eye and every heart that is watching this morning, God. I pray that you would anoint the singers, the musicians, anyone involved today, God. I pray, Jesus, that your power and your presence, Lord, would touch everyone watching this morning, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, God. Join us as we worship this morning. He is worthy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than my ever known, no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. Yes, no sweeter name, no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter name than I ever known, no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. You are the light to the darkness around me. You are the hope to the hopeless and broken. You are the only truth and the way. Yes, you are Jesus. No sweeter name. No sweeter name than the name of Jesus. No sweeter around me. You are
Praise the Lord, church. It is so, so great to be here on this Sunday morning. And thank you so very much to our worship team. It is so great also today we have with us Brother Jonathan Mackey. And we're so very excited that he is here. And I wish you were all here with us this morning. But it is what it is. We just have to deal with the circumstances that we're dealt with. But so great to be here this morning. If you're a guest joining us online, just fill out. We have an online connection card. We'd just like to connect with you. So if you'd like to take and fill that out, you'd be interested in that, we'd like to get a hold of you and just make that connection. And also, if you're a member of Calvary Gospel Church and you'd like to take and put an offering in this morning for Brother Mackey, you can just go and you can follow our cgcmadison.org and our giving and tithes, missions, offering, and such. There, just type in for keyword speaker, and we will get that passed on. So just to bring you a little bit up to speed, as far as this morning, we will be having virtual services through next weekend. So all the way through the month of November, we will be having virtual services. This Wednesday evening, we'll be having a special Thanksgiving message, and I'll be presenting that to the congregation. So make sure you tune in with us on Wednesday evening. Other than that, I just trust all of you deer hunters in the congregation that you had an enjoyable day of deer hunting yesterday and today and this next week. Be safe out there. And also, I'm not for sure if it's possible or not, but I think it'd be a good idea if you paid tithing on your deer. So I'm just bringing that up as a little bit of a joke there. Anyway, be safe. And also, we're going to start off here with prayer. We have a number of folks in the congregation that are still, their families are still struggling with COVID. And we just want to take and pray for those families. And then my wife just received word just prior to service here that her father, Larry Michaels, was taken into the emergency room and is struggling with some health issues. He's 96 years old. We were sharing this in our pre-service meeting, and almost a year ago or close to that, he was in the hospital, and the doctor's call told us to get the family together. He probably won't make it the next 3 days, and 3 days became a week, and then a week was 10 days, and 2 weeks. They sent him home from the hospital, and they sent hospice in, and hospice was there for a number of weeks, and then they left, and he's like, see, you just can't take me down. I'm a tough old bird here, but I don't know if I'd call him an old bird. Tough old gentleman. And he's like, I outlived hospice. Just pray for the family this morning. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you with brothers and sisters. Lord, I know we're not all here today. We're scattered all over Dane County, Southwest Wisconsin, all over the country, Lord. But we pray, God, we can still feel your presence, still feel your spirit. I pray, Lord, for all the families in the congregation that are struggling with this COVID virus that has afflicted their homes. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, I also pray, Lord, for all of our brothers and sisters that are out enjoying the deer hunting season. You'd keep them safe. Keep them out of harm's way, Lord, and bring them good luck. Lord, we also, God, we ask you to pray for Larry Michaels, that your hand would be upon him this morning, that your healing touch would be upon his body. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to continue to the remainder of this service, our worship time together, and also Brother Jonathan Mackey will be bringing the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Enjoy worship with us this morning.
Yes, my Lord Jesus, the weapon. Jesus, Jesus. overcome. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise the Lord again, church. If you're in your homes this morning, I guess I'm just going to have you, if you could just stand at this time. And I know you're probably scattered all over and everybody in different, probably some of you in your pajamas. I threatened a few weeks ago, I said, I want to come in here on some Sunday morning, I want to preach in my pajamas. You can have church in your pajamas, I guess I could preach in mine. But it is such an honor to have with us this morning Brother Jonathan Mackey. And as I've said, he started, I believe we were talking in conversation, the first time he came here to Madison to preach was in 1974. And if you've been a member of Calvary Gospel Church from those days on, you have kind of know Brother Mackey. And this is his 98th, 99th, and 100th. He'll be preaching three times for us today. And it's just so great to have him here. And Brother Mackey is just a lifelong family friend. And we love him. We appreciate him. And it is so great to have you here today, Brother Jonathan Mackey. Why don't you come and preach to us this morning, Brother Mackey? God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Grant. And what a joy to be in Calvary Gospel Church again. I'm so thankful for a church that is continuing steadfastly in the Apostles' Doctrine. Good to be in a church today that does believe in repentance, water baptism by immersion, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, a church that believes in receiving the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. I have great love and respect for Senior and Sister Brother John Grant, and now I appreciate Brother Roy Grant and his wife so very much. And it is my desire that the word of the Lord will speak to everyone that hears my voice today, and that the word of the Lord will minister to you. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, the writer in Hebrews says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, you know the spiritual condition, physical condition, mental condition, financial condition of every individual that hears my voice today. God, I ask that you'd help me to minister your word. God, help us to receive it. Let the word of God be the difference maker in our lives today. For your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is known as the faith chapter in the Word of God, the faith chapter. Now, there's no scripture and verse that says it's the faith chapter, but it is known as the faith chapter because verse 1 tells us what faith is. And then it says in verse 4, by faith Abel, verse 5, by faith Enoch, verse 7, by faith Noah, verse 8, by faith Abraham. All these famous, well-known men of God that would not be famous or well-known except they did indeed have faith in God. But now in my initial scripture of verse 32, the writer says, I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They did not need tanks, planes, armies, or bombs, but through faith kingdoms were subdued, righteousness was wrought, promises were obtained, and they stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They were strong instead of weak. They were valiant instead of afraid in times of fight because of faith. Women received their dead raised to life again. There was resurrection from the dead because of faith in God. But now starting in this, in the next portion of verse 35, this could be called faith chapter 2 or the flip side of the coin of faith. It says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, which simply means they were going to be resurrected to a better life. Verse 36, others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. They had bonds and imprisonment. They were beaten. They were mocked. They were imprisoned, but they are listed in the faith chapter. Verse 37, they were stoned. They were literally cut in two pieces, sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. That is why wealth is not the distinguishing mark of spirituality in Christianity. There's a lot of health and wealth gospel preached today. Blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. But they wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins, not Hart, Schaffner, and Mark suits. They were destitute, afflicted, tormented. Because wealth is not the distinguishing mark of your relationship with God. Verse 38, the world was not worthy of these people running around in sheepskins and goatskins. And they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Now, I I really personally believe we will not be running around in sheepskins and goatskins when Jesus comes. But there is one little phrase that every one of us will be confronted with. In verse 37, they were tempted. They were tempted. Now, what's interesting about faith, now in verse 34, people escaped the edge of the sword. And in verse 37, people were killed by the sword. People in verse 34 did not have more faith, and people in verse 37 did not have less faith. That is why our experience and our personal relationship with God is not determined by what we're delivered from, what we're saved from, or what comes our way. But it says in verse 37, they were tempted. Now, every time you read the word tempted or temptation in the Bible, it has one of two meanings. One meaning of the word tempted in the Bible is the enticement to do evil. But that is not the meaning in verse 37. In verse 37, when it says they were tempted, it means test, trial, affliction for the purpose of developing spiritual character that we would stand approved before God. I want to stand approved before God. And I think it's important that you desire to stand approved before God. But it's test and trial for the purpose of developing spiritual character. Right now, I live in the state of Michigan, but I moved to Michigan from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And my last summer in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, usually for April, May, June, and July, we would receive 12 to 14 inches of rain. But now, it was the middle of July, and up to that point, we had received less than 4 inches of rain. And when it first happened, when it was first happening, people thought, this is great. No storms, no rain, no clouds, no wind. But by the middle of July, when lawns were dying, and crops were dying, and people were dying, suddenly, individuals realized if there was sun all the time, the end result would be death. And for people that want the blessings of God all the time, and no test and no trial, we will never really be what God intends us to be. They were tempted. They were tempted. Now, the next book of your Bible, the book of James, James chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered, it says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. This is not the enticement to do evil, but this is the test, the trial, the affliction. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. One translation says, be full of joy when you have test and trial. Another says, my brethren, laugh hilariously when you have trouble. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, do I have a problem. Now, I admit to you, I have not reached this place of spiritual maturity in my life. When I have a problem, I might complain, I might moan, call somebody, pray, cry. But this is in the Bible as much as Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, when you have various tests and trial. Now, there is a principle in the Word of God. It begins in the Old Testament and continues into the New Testament. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. We are living in 2020 where there's no discipline, there's no correction, there's no chastening anymore. We are living in a day where psychologists say if you spank your child, it's going to make them violent. We've never had so few spankings and so much violence. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. And God just put a little bit of extra padding in a certain part of our body that we could endure a spanking. Now, my father loved me enough to give me a whipping when I needed it. Not because he hated me, but because he loved me. Now, this principle is carried into the New Testament. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 6. The same scripture now is repeated in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, now we don't enjoy it, but if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards. We don't even know who our Father is, and we are not sons. Now, we are living in a day where there are many children who do not know who their father is. And even worse, even the mother does not know who the father is. But I'm so glad I know the name of my father today. His name is Jesus. But if he be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then we don't know who our father is. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father, with a capital F, referring to deity, the Father of spirits, and live? And this denotes an eternal life, much less, even more, an abundant life right here in this present world. Verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But God is going to do it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And whom the Lord loves, he corrects. In Psalm 119, there's two very excellent scriptures here. Psalm 119, in verse 67, it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I was not obedient, I was disobedient. Before I was afflicted, I was not careful, I was careless with my soul. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I cannot even begin to list how many individuals I have seen come into an apostolic church as a pastor's son, as a pastor and assistant pastor for 10 years, and now as an evangelist for 47 years. How many people have come through the doors of an apostolic church? They did not come because, oh, I just love God and I just love to be in his house. No, they came because there was a cancer, there was a divorce, there was a tragedy, there was a trial, there was a baby that was stillborn, there were so many circumstances that brought people to God's house. Because they realized there was no hope out there. So they thought, maybe God can help me. And they would come to an altar and they shed tears. Not because they were sorry for their sin, because they were overwhelmed that they were not going to get through this by themselves. But in that moment of humility and brokenness, it led them to a place of repentance. They repented of their sins. They were baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ. They received the Holy Ghost. And now they're born again. And they have the lively hope of heaven. And they're thankful that the trial and the test ever came. Before I was afflicted, I was careless with my soul. But now that I've been afflicted, I'm careful with my soul. I'm not disobedient. I am obedient. And I went, and in my ministry, I've seen some people that never do they willingly bend a knee before God and humble themselves. But I wonder what test, what trial, what affliction it will take for some people to really acknowledge their need of God. Then it says in verse 71 of Psalm 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Now, our God is not a child abuser. Now, child abuse not only breaks the will, but it breaks the spirit. And most child abuse does not even come from the biological parent, but it comes maybe from a stepdad, from a stepmom, from some kind of an individual that really was not even involved biologically or and related to them blood-wise. But our God is not a child abuser, because child abuse not only breaks the will, but it breaks the spirit. And the Bible says, a wounded spirit who can bear? But our God is not a child abuser. Yes, God wants our will broken. He wants our will because he wants his will to be accomplished in our life. But in my travels as an evangelist, I meet people quite frequently that says, Brother Mackey, I'm going to church. I'm faithful. I'm paying my tithes. I'm teaching home Bible studies. I'm doing the best I can for God, but yet I have this problem and this circumstance in my life, and it's just so hard to bear. Now, everyone needs to understand, not every test and trial comes from God. Now, there are different reasons why we have tests and trials. The first reason is because of the sin of Adam. Because of Adam's disobedience, Eve's disobedience. Folks, I mean, we have weeds in our yard. You ladies have pain at childbirth. There's thorns on the roses. I mean, we have trial just because of man's initial disobedience. And then some people have trial and tests because they are reaping what they have sown. We can come in here, we can repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost, but it does not remove everything that has happened in our past. Whether we have spent time in prison, whether we have had an illegitimate child, whether we've been through divorce. I mean, many people have test and trial because God can forgive sin, but he cannot remove every situation that's going to continue to confront us in our lives, because we are reaping what we have sown. And then we have trial of place. I was born and raised in Duluth, Minnesota. My last winter in Duluth, Minnesota, for the month of January, the warmest temperature of the month was 20 degrees below zero. All right, that was the high. It got to 30 degrees below zero every night. The wind chill was almost 50 degrees below zero. And I had a 1952 Plymouth that did not start for 30 days. All right. I walked to work. I had frostbitten fingers, frostbitten ears. I could not even button and unbutton my shirt. So God says, don't live in Minnesota. Live in Florida, where half the roofs have blue tarps on all the time because of all the hurricanes and all the storms. Listen, everybody, we have trial of place. I don't care where you live in this world, there's going to be, it's not going to be perfect weather, but heaven is better than this. But then we have trial because of the enemy of our soul. Even Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, I'm going to pray for you because Satan desires to have you and sift you as wheat. And I'm going to pray for you. But then there are times where God allows trial into our life and God brings it and it becomes a catalyst for spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, where we get to a deeper depth. We get our roots a little bit deeper. We develop a little bit more faith in Almighty God and it becomes a catalyst for spiritual growth. That is why that's why an individual must be so careful when there is a saint of God that is going through a test and a trial, not to be judgmental, not to be harsh, because it's really holy ground when someone is there. God wanted to kill some of Job's counselors because they were giving him such wrong counsel. So therefore, folks, I mean, when the trial comes, I mean, is it just because I'm reaping what I've sown? Is it just because it's just because of life? Now, people have asked me, Brother Mackey, how about this COVID virus? Is it from God? Is it from the devil? I don't know, but I think it's from China for sure, you know. Folks, I have said it many times in the pulpit. You still get flat tires and mosquito bites after you get the Holy Ghost. Folks, you are not exempt from cancer, from unemployment, from test and trial. But I want you to know, folks, God can use it for a good purpose in your life. Now, let's turn to the book of Hebrews again, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Again, in Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 34, individuals escape the sword. They're in the faith chapter. In verse 37, people were slain with the sword, but they are still people of faith. In 2020, it could be written, you know, some saints have been delivered from car accidents, and other saints have died in car accidents. The individuals that died did not have less faith. The people that were delivered did not have more faith. In 2020, some saints are healed of cancer. And also, some saints have died of cancer. The individuals that were healed did not have more faith. And the people, you know, who died did not have less faith. Because these individuals are listed in the faith chapter. The real mark of faith is whether he heals me, whether he doesn't heal me. I'm going to love and serve God. If he finds me the job, if he doesn't find me a job, folks, I'm going to still be faithful to God. They are listed in the faith chapter. So I have no idea what you're facing right now. I don't know what you're going to go through tomorrow, next week, or 2021 if Jesus tarries. But the important thing is to have a faith in God. Because anyone can come through the doors of this church and make in good health, making good money, whoa, raise their hand, dance their little jig, and talk in tongues. But when you still come through the doors of this church in the middle of a trial, in the midst of a storm, and you're in a dark place and you don't know what's going to happen, but you can still raise your hands and love your Heavenly Father, I want you to know you indeed are a man of faith, a man of faith. Now let's turn to the book of James again, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Laugh hilariously when you have trial. Verse 3, knowing this, we need to know there's only one God and his name is Jesus. We need to know that speaking with tongues is the initial Bible evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. We need to know that the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is the only valid water baptism. But we also need to know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Another translation says it this way. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith will bring out endurance, steadfastness, and patience in you. And let the process go on and have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be a people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. One of my most favorite translations of the New Testament is J.B. Phillips' translation called Letters to Young Churches. And J.B. Phillips just wept and trembled as he felt the Spirit of God move upon him as he wrote this translation. But in J.B. Phillips' translation, in verse 2, it says, "When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends." It says in verse 3, "Realize they come to test your faith and produce in you a quality of endurance. But let the process go on," in verse 4, "until that endurance is fully developed, and he will find you have become men of mature character, men of integrity, men with no weak spots. I really believe you can live for God anywhere, anytime, in any circumstance, in any situation, when you really have faith in God." Now, faith is not twisting God's arm. Sometimes we totally forget just the true sovereignty of Almighty God. God tells us we have every right to lay hands on the sick. Why God heals some people and he doesn't heal other people, I have no idea why, and neither does anybody else, folks, because as the heavens are above the earth, God's ways are above man's ways. I remember years ago being raised in this, that people would stand and testify and say, "I want God to take me right now when I'm ready to meet him," rather than live too long and maybe just mess up in my life and miss out on eternal life with Jesus Christ. Because what's more important than anything is your relationship with Almighty God. And do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much your Heavenly Father loves you? He will do anything he has to put true endurance in you. Amen. And to make you a man of endurance with no weak spots. Because the church is not God's hothouse plants. Keep us in the greenhouse. Keep the temperature at 72 degrees. Put the sprinkler system on me right now, every now and again. And right here, I can live for God. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. God wants you to be a man of true faith, regardless of circumstances. Because it says in verse 12 in James 1, the conclusion of test and trial, in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall, it's a promise, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." I have one daughter, and when she was a young girl, I would discipline her. The most precious moment after the discipline is when I wrapped my arms around her and she wrapped her arms around me and I said, "I love you, dear daughter," and she says, "I love you, Dad." And that's why whatever, regardless what you are going through, you can still raise your hands and say, "I love you, God." Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, because we are living in a day where individuals want the prize, but they don't want to run the race. We are living in a day where a man and a woman want to live together, sleep together. They want to have all the privileges of marriage, but none of the responsibilities of marriage. We are living in a day where people want heaven, but they don't want holiness. We are living in a day where they do not want trial, but they want the crown of life. Blessed is he that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall. I want everyone to know it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small Amen. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So keep running this race until we see Christ. Andre Crouch wrote a song years ago, "What makes a man turn his back on God?" There are so many individuals I know that used to be faithful, but they're not faithful anymore to God, to his house, to his purpose, to his cause. And I thought, what is it? What would it have been that caused them to turn their back on God? I was preaching for a man, and he picked me up for supper about 4 o'clock, and we went out to have some supper. And he said, "Brother Mackey," he said, "this afternoon I counseled with a couple." And he said, "In all my years of ministry, I never counseled with anyone and heard of a trial this severe, this complicated, this tangled, this harsh." He said, "In fact, when they were talking to me," he said, "I had to focus on keeping my face, my countenance level, that I did not give way to my dismay to what they were telling me." So when they finished talking to me, I told him, "Now, folks, I do not know what to tell you right now." He said, "But I'm going to pray about this, and we're going to talk again later in a few days." So they left my office, and when they left, he said, "I just put my head in my hands, and I went, 'Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.'" He said, "It wasn't even my test and trial, but I was overwhelmed. Oh, God." Now, this preacher did not tell me what the test and the trial was, but as he had his head in his hands, God gave him a vision of a man walking down the street carrying a tiny little box, like a jewelry box, and the man was just juggling it and throw it in the air, and as he did this, the box got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and the man just stood back. And he said, "What am I going to do with this? I can't even get my arms around it." And he tried to lift the box, and he couldn't do it. And the hand of God came down and touched the box. And instantly, the box was back down to the normal size. So he just picked it up. He started juggling it down the street again. And again, the box got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the man stands back, and he's looking at this gigantic box. He can't lift it, and he can't put his arms around it. And he said, "What am I going to do with this?" And the hand of God came down again, only this time it touched the man. And the man got so big that the box just seemed the normal size. And he picked it up and started juggling it down the street again. And God was letting the pastor know this: in times of test, in times of trial, in times of affliction, in times when you're in places where you don't know what to do, God can do one of two things. He can touch the problem and make it small enough for you to handle. Or he can touch you, the man, and make you big enough to handle the circumstances that are in your life. Now, I don't know if you're in good hands with Allstate, but you are in good hands with God. He is not a child abuser. That is why when the prophet went down to the potter's house, and God says, "I want you to be like clay in the hands of the potter." I just encourage every man, every woman, every young person, whether you're a new convert, whether you're a saint of many years, regardless of what you face, stay on the potter's wheel. When the trial comes, don't stop coming to church. Keep coming to church. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Don't stop reading the Bible. Keep reading the Bible. Stay on the potter's wheel and let God shape you and mold you into a vessel of honor, whereby you become a man of endurance, a man with no weak spots, and you can live for God anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. Amen. My brethren, count it all joy when you have tests and trials. Some people have a trial and they say, "When am I going to get out of this?" Other people have a trial and they say, "What am I going to get out of this?" And I pray that, life is hard enough without the COVID. But I want you to know, everybody, God is never going to leave you, never forsake you. Amen. I want you to keep your faith in God. Amen. That's all. Let's just raise our hands right now and love the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that as the heavens are above the earth, your ways are above man's ways. God, you know the circumstances in everyone's life. I ask now, God, that you would, that we would be men and women of faith. God, if we are healed, if we are not healed. God, if we are delivered, if we are not delivered, we are still going to have our faith in you and trust you. We are going to trust you, Lord. We're going to stay on your wheel. We want your hands in our life, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Have your way in every heart, every life. Strengthen us, God, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now the praise team is going to, let's close and have some worship here right now. You're in good hands with God, everybody. You are. Don't lose your faith in God. In Jesus' name.
Your love is great. I'm great.
process may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, my God, you never will. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail, but my God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say.
Lord, church, thank you so very much, Brother Mackey. That was an awesome message. Thank you so very much. I just want to, in closing here, just remember your brothers and sisters. We have a number of families that are struggling with sicknesses and such right now, so just remember each other in prayer as we go into this week, and this is Thanksgiving week, so we'll be having a Wednesday evening Thanksgiving service. Make sure you tune in for that. And I want to thank our worship and our praise team this morning so very, very much. Thank you so very much. And our sound and overhead and all of the folks that make all of this happen. But also we had folks from Wisconsin, Illinois, and Iowa, our kind of the tri-state area here. Thank you for joining us this morning, Calvary Gospel Church, and then we had some folks from New York, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Kansas. So thank you very much for joining us today. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we have coming up at 1 o'clock, we have our Voces Unidas service. That will be a live in-person service. Voces and our African International services will both be in-person services today. They have not had the COVID outbreaks in their particular congregations like we've had in our Calvary Gospel Church congregation. So some of you may be wondering why they're live and we're not. That is the reason why. And Brother Mackey will be speaking in those services as well. So thank you very much. God bless you. And I haven't said this in a while, but I have a T-shirt at home that was given to me. It says, be safe, be sanitized. Let's see, I don't even remember how that all went now. Be safe, sanctified. There we go. I'll get it. Be safe, be sanctified, and stay sanitized. There we go. God bless you. We love you. We appreciate you all. We will see you back here on Wednesday. Thank you.